We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Good. Well, Thanksgiving week edition of the O-Line Committee here. Phil Mackie, Jeremiah Searles on remote location.
Again.
Alex Boone.
We can't tell you where he is.
Again.
He's somewhere.
Listen, hey, I don't have a laptop.
The lifestyle of an agent.
Yeah. And I don't have a laptop, so I'm literally lugging around my desktop. Everywhere I'm like, I think it's time for laptop. Yeah, I literally have my
why
my
don't
iMac.
You have a laptop, dude?
Because I have my iPad, and I thought my iPad could like double as a laptop, but it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't.
I need a mobile command. So Emma's like, well, we'll get you one for Christmas. I was like, no, I need this. Like, that's not a Christmas gift. Like, a Christmas
that doesn't
gift
count. That doesn't count, honey. No,
if I'm putting it on the work card, it doesn't count as a Christmas gift.
Yeah, honey, no, you still need to get me the the unlimited foot massages at the pedicure place down the street.
Don't do that. Yes. Don't be that guy.
Hey, before we do Who's the Mic, before we get into this, we got a big game this weekend. I'm not talking Nebraska, Iowa. I'm not talking about Gophers, Badgers, okay? Ohio
the
State,
game.
Boonies, Ohio State squad the against game. Boonies, former Dude. Coach Jim Harbaugh. What happened?
Dude, the Boone Bowl, baby. It's the Boone Bowl.
It's the Boone Bowl.
It's been a minute since maybe I think the last time was probably when I was there. We were one and they were two. And the winner went on to the national championship. And that was pre-fucking all this playoff shit. It was like, dude, you got to be one and you got to be two. That was it. I remember like you were praying. I remember we beat them and somebody called me and they were like, we're just praying that they want to see a rematch of this game. Like, there's no chance they're going to want to see a fucking rematch. Like, they're going to want to see us play somebody else, probably down south. But back then, you think about how hard it was to get into the championship. Like, you were just relying on people to be like, we want to see this game. Because there was a couple in there that it was like, I don't know about that. I remember going, I don't know if that person should have been ranked number two, but okay, sold tickets. But I got to know right now, steak and a beer, who you guys going?
You know, I got Michigan. I think
we already got a steak and a beer, bro. Don't worry about it.
Listen, Linda. I like Michigan because physically they beat the shit out of Ohio State the last 2 years. Like, beat them up and down the field physically, right? That's just been what it's been. Now, I will say I think Ohio State's defense is better than it's been in a long time this year. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see Michigan being stopped on offense with them enough. Like, I think with Marvin Harrison, you know, they don't have a lockdown corner at Michigan, so they're going to try and get the ball to Harrison a lot. But I think it's going to be a fantastic game. But I just think at the end of the game, it's going to be a grinded out fest on the ground, and I got to give it to Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards and J.J. McCarthy on that side.
Okay.
You're being judged right now, too.
I know. Don't forget. That's fine. That's fine. I'm going to enjoy that nice porterhouse from Manny. It's going to be great.
We have like 73 steak and a beer bets lining right now. Okay.
Yeah,
someone needs to. We need to start taking. We need a whiteboard, Mackie. Behind you.
I know.
That's just a steak and a beer whiteboard. Just write. Just white. Put them up.
And go back. Listen to all the episodes. Beep. All right.
Hey,
I hinted
Mackie,
at this.
Don't get out of it. Who are you betting?
I know. No, I hinted at this when you were on Purple Daily yesterday, Booney.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Michigan winning this game.
Game on.
And all the stuff that Jeremiah just said, he just broke down like the X's and O's and all that stuff. Sounds great. I'm picking Michigan because Jim Harbaugh went to the podium yesterday and quoted Ted Lasso for how he has kept this football team together with all the outside noise. You got a coach up there just slinging Ted Lasso quotes leading up to this game against Ohio State.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Who's got it better than us at Michigan? Who's got it better than us?
This week I don't stand for that Harbaugh nonsense. Like, he can take a long walk off a short bridge, okay, because he's rooting for the other team.
Why don't you text him that?
I stand with him right now.
Don't be a coward. Don't be a coward.
What do you want me to say?
I stand with you.
You're going down this week.
Hey,
you
how
cheater.
Would if I say chocolate shake? Chocolate shake cheater. Bet. You cheater.
Hey, cheater, you're dead.
Yeah, no.
Why don't you fire another assistant coach as a scapegoat?
Right.
Jim, all caps.
I knew it was you.
No, you just got to send him the, what's that movie where, like, he opens the door, kicks him in the nuts, and goes, you know why? Right? Like, you just said him that and be like, you know why you're going to lose, cheater. But I like Michigan, dude. I think Michigan wins the whole thing this year. I really do. I think they go all the way and win the Natty this year. It's the year for them, man. I like it.
Okay. Boone's head's about to explode. Okay. Right,
who do you think wins it all?
Ohio State?
You think Ohio State wins it all?
Yeah,
with that quarterback?
Have a better chance
with
than
that
this.
Quarterback? Just no
wait.
Chance.
I can't wait till Iowa makes it into, which they are, into the Big Ten championship game. Beats one of these teams 12-9.
That's another thing. You've just added another game that means absolute. Because the two top teams from that conference are already playing, and then the following week it's like the winner has to play Iowa.
Trap game, dude.
Iowa.
That's a trap game.
Trap game, man. Their defense is legit.
That's what's sad. If you're planning trap games at the beginning of the year for the best team in the country, you've really fucked up. Like, you've just made it terrible. I'm sorry. I don't care what you're
saying. It's the last year. It's the last year of the Big Ten East, Big Ten West. Like, next year it just goes to the big 18.
We just let everybody in. Hey, you know what I love even more? You want to talk about a low-key, like, new mic? How about, what is it, Oregon State and Washington are going to remain in the Pac-12 alone? Dude.
And do
oh,
what?
They're just gonna play each other
dude,
nine times?
Why? Because they're probably making money off Pac-12 apparel, and they're like, wait a minute.
And the TV stuff, yeah.
You eight teams want to leave the $1 billion we're making? Okay, cool. Well, we'll split it.
Yeah.
You guys
do they
are
get
stupid.
To split the, is the current TV deal still in place? They just get
probably,
to split it 50,
yeah,
50.
They're not idiots. They're like, wait a minute. More money for us?
I kind of feel bad for the Pac-12, honestly.
Oh, like, I do, low-key.
They this is like the best year that they've had as a collective
Seriously.
Group.
Yes.
In a decade, two decades, right? Like, as collectively top to bottom, like, man, there's some good football being played in the pack. Meh, blow it up.
You know what? Yeah. Right? Go like, to the Big Ten.
You to the Big Ten. You to the Big 12. Colorado, you're out. No one wants
you're
you.
You're out. Nobody wants right? you like,
tired
by
of your
the way,
shit.
Hey, by the way, remember that thing we said in the beginning of the season where we were like, we'll all take a look in 12 weeks and look back?
Yeah.
Boy, that went real sour real fast. Everybody, and now everyone's decommitting and like,
yeah,
you know
that's,
what, never
oh, that's the best part. All the five
never
stars
mind.
Are like, oh, LOL, JK, I'm out. Like,
I'm
no
out.
Thanks.
Now we're good. We're good.
You apparently really weren't that hard to find, Prime. You apparently really weren't that hard to find.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Who's the mic? Yeah. Who's the mic? I want to start you guys off because something's fresh on my mind
me,
from
Mike.
Last night.
Hit me.
We'll go around the room. Who's the mic where we identify the biggest things on our mind in the football world here? So my mic this week, Chiefs wide receivers.
Oh.
Last night, and I'm sure a lot of people were watching this last night, Monday Night Football. This it's pretty rare that you look at a game 3 months into the season on the schedule and it lives up to the hype from when the schedule came out. And that game was a blast.
Yes.
So the Eagles come back in the second half and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, we've seen it a million times. He's got the football. All right. Regardless of what just happened, one touchdown drive. Let's go. Let's do this, boys.
Just one catch. Just need one.
They matriculate their way to the 50-yard line.
There's your word.
Midfield.
There's your word.
Matriculate. Here we go. Blue 42. Here we go. Patrick Mahomes drops back. And Valdez Scantling has 5 yards on the defensive back.
Wide
not
open.
Even really
let's
laying out.
Open.
It was like in stride, dude. Wide open. Yeah. Bounces off his hands.
Absolute dot.
That dog. Wasn't even the worst one.
How about the
because
next
about
one on fourth
3
down.
Minutes later, it's 4th and 25.
It
and
went
Patrick
through his
Mahomes
hands.
Throws a dot, a laser, 28 yards down the field to Justin Watson right through his hands.
Hey, the best was Troy Aikman goes, can we see that again? Did he just drop that? And he goes, yeah, he did. He just dropped it. Dude, I'm not
insane.
Kidding you. Pat got to his back foot and threw a dart. Was like, dude, come hell or high water, this ball is coming to you. And the guy literally.
How about Mahomes at the podium? He's like, did you hear him? He was like, he literally, he was like, you know, I guess, he goes, you know, I guess I could have put that ball like a little bit so we didn't have to reach out for it. Like, I could have put it a little bit closer. Like, just standing up there, just arrows in the chest.
Like when,
right?
It's like when
even though everyone's sitting there going,
yeah.
Okay, Pat. Yeah, maybe next time you just throw it even like really a lot better than the perfect throw that you gave.
It's great, man. It's like when Andrew Luck used to have ribs coming out of his jersey after the game. He's like, I just got to get that ball out.
I got to see my first read faster. I got to get rid of the hot. Hold on. I'm puking blood. Hold on.
I'm fine.
Hey,
leadership.
We used to watch his film and be like, low-key, how does this dude survive? Like, and he would get up there and be like, well, you know, I just got to get there faster. Well, it's me. And you'd be like,
before we get on that, you want to hear a crazier stat? Yes. Joe Burrow has been sacked more times in the first however many games of his career than Andrew Luck has been.
Wow. Super Bowl.
Yep.
With one of those
Joe guys. Burrow has been sacked more times than Andrew Luck was at the beginning of his career, which forced Luck into early retirement. And it wasn't like a major injury that forced Luck into retirement, right? No. It was a conglomeration of a rib, a shoulder, a wrist, a calf, right? Like they start to add up when these dudes take these beatings like this. And I saw that stat and I was like, man, that's tough. And Joey B being out for the year now, the Bengals might as well just rinse and flush this year and start over next year. Like, it's just a tough time to be in Cincinnati.
You low-key hit my new mic. That was Cincinnati.
Before you hit your new mic, because I want to give you one more thing on the Chiefs receivers. I want to play a game with you guys. I know you guys think stats are stupid, okay? Stats are stupid, but I'm going to give you a stupid stat. Guess how many Chiefs receivers have dropped a pass this season?
I know they have the most in the NFL. I know they have 24 drops on the year, which is the most in the NFL.
If I said
I'm going to guess seven. I was going to say seven receivers have drops.
Dude. And Booney, you say eight.
Over.
10.
Yeah, I agree.
Dude, they're not 10 doing him any different favors. Dudes have dropped a pass.
I'm telling you right now, his O-line and his wide receivers are not doing him any favors. They
he's still
literally,
first in the AFC.
They're making him play against his own team. Like, he's like, listen, I'll throw you a dot. You just got to catch it. And they're like, no, I won't even do that. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll throw another dot, another guy catch it. No, I don't want to be the guy. It's like, guys, we're trying to help you. We can't just throw it to Kelce all day because people are eventually going to figure that out. And at the same time, their whole clutch thing is just not showing up right now. Like last night, I expected him when he got that ball back with 2 minutes, I was like, it's over.
Yeah, 100%.
Kelce dropped one, too. Kelce dropped one toward the end.
And then came back and caught two in a row.
Caught two or three in a row, yeah.
He's like the guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's all they have, him and Pacheco. And it's like, dude, when you talk about everybody else letting you down. Pacheco. What is it?
Pacheco.
I love watching him run. I mean, the guy, he's just everywhere. But at
he's
going to
be out of the
time,
league in 4 years.
Yeah, so you kind of hit – that was going to be one of my new mics. But my real mic this week has got to be Geno Smith. I mean, dude, I don't know if you've ever heard about a quarterback leaving a game and then coming back in because the backup was so bad. And by the way, did you see Drew Lock's stats? It was like 2 for 6 for an interception and 3 yards. Like, literally, Geno was on the sideline like, hey, do we have any Toradol left? Just put it straight into the elbow. Go ahead.
Dude, he had like an ice pack. Like, I don't know if it was a heat pack or an ice pack, but like his arm was wrapped at one point.
I know.
And I was like, oh, shoot, he's done. Right? Like, you don't wrap anything unless you're done. And then all of a sudden you see him on the sideline trying to throw the ball again. And you're like, no way this dude's coming back in.
Geno.
Like, and what sucks, and what really sucks to add on to your mic, is it's going to make the Thursday night game this week terrible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that especially was going to be Niners. A great game between full strength Seattle, full strength San Fran. Like, that's a clash of a classic battle of the NFC. Right? And now it's just like, oh, well, Drew Lock is playing. I guess over.
No. Geno's playing. Brody.
We'll see, dude. Brody. Those elbows, like, you know, the day of, they're like, okay, we'll be all right. It's always like day two, like today, right? Tuesday. All that Toradol that's in his system has slowly worn off. And now he's like, oh, God, I got to play Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Fred Warner in about 3 days.
Dude, this is a classic matchup, too.
I know.
Dude, we used to have so much fun. Oh, my God. Gotta do it.
But that sucks. Dude, it sucks for Geno. I hope he's okay. I hope it's nothing serious. And
yeah. Great, like, dude.
Drew Lock.
Yikes. They're still, and then if he can heal up in the next month, if you look right now, so the Vikings are the 7th seed, the Seahawks are right above, everyone else below them on the outside looking in is like 4-6 or terrible. Worse. So they can, the Seahawks can lose this game. They're probably still a playoff team even if they lose.
No. We're not talking about losing. No one wants to lose.
Well, we're not
no
picking the game because like, hey, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, we can't pick that game. We can't pick that game. We're not picking the quarterbacks.
No. Jay, who's your mic? Give us your mic.
Oh. I got a mic for you. I got my Mackie. Roll the tape.
Mackie, oh, here we go. We have production
Roll the tape, Mackie. I got a mic for you. Roll the tape.
I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. Yeah. I don't see the excellence that I saw in the past.
Why not? Why not?
I think the coaching isn't as good as it was. I don't think the development of young players is as good as it was. The rules have allowed a lot of bad habits to get into the actual performance of the game. Mm-hmm. So I just think the product, in my opinion, is less than what it's been. I think I look at a lot of players like Ray Lewis and Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott and guys that impacted the game in a certain way, and every hit they would have made would have been a penalty. Mm. You hear coaches complaining about their own player being tackled and not necessarily, why don't they talk to their player about how to protect himself? We used to work on the fundamentals of those things all the time. Now they're trying to be regulated all the time. Offensive players need to protect themselves. It's not up to a defensive player to protect the offensive player. A defensive player needs to protect himself. I didn't throw the ball to certain areas because I was afraid players were going to get knocked out. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. Wow. I didn't throw it to the middle when I played Ray Lewis because you knock him out of the game, and I couldn't afford to lose a good player.
That is my mic, because that's something that Boone and I have talked about for a long time. It's something you talk about, and I'm going to break this down into a couple places. The first is the first part of that video where he talks about the development of young players. That's the biggest thing when he talks about that. And that goes all the way back for me into college football too. You know, you start talking about why are young players struggling to make immediate impacts in the NFL, right? You're always going to have your elites that are doing it, right? The first rounders are always going to come in because they're NFL ready. But what are the fifth, sixth, fourth rounders like? When are those guys starting to show up? It's really not, you're not seeing a big impact from those type of players. And a lot of it is because of the development that has been taken out of the NFL. And it comes back to the lack of practices, the lack of OTAs, the lack of padded practices, like all those things that are for player safety, and I understand it, is hurting the actual integrity of the game. The actual integrity and the actual product that is being put out on the football field week in and week out is lacking compared to what it was, just because of the lack of preparation of the handcuffs that have been put on to the NFL, right? And that even goes back to, you look at what college football is doing now with the NIL, the transfer portal. The college football game is even becoming simpler and less schematic and lack of development, because these coaches now have turned into babysitters of their own players once they've already gotten there, right? It used to be Boone. When we showed up, you showed up like, oh, you guys recruited me? I'm so excited. Oh, man. I'd be like, hey, freshman, sit down there. Eat shit. You'll get your turn in 2 years. Okay. Right? Like, that's what it was. And now you show up and you have to coddle and baby, because if you don't, they're just like, well, this sucks. Transfer portal. Right? Like, there's no learning how to grind and learning how to go through some of the hardships and the adversity and hitting that. So then you add that to when guys get to college or get to the NFL, and there's even some more of that sprinkled in there. It's just turning into a lack of production on the field. And Tom Brady's spot on here on this first part. And then on the second part about making football violent again. I mean, A, it's kind of weird coming out of his mouth because he was king of it at the end of his career.
He's like the huge reason why they changed him.
Right,
the rules.
And that's the part for him. Is like, hey, remember the tuck rule, pal? Like, remember that? That was definitely you.
Diving
and like,
at knees?
That was you too. Hey, that was a good rule that they admitted. But I agree with you. Go ahead, Jay.
I would say, just to finish it off, like, to talk about players understanding how to protect themselves, I think that it's not as much the players, it's the league. Because how many times have we heard guys like Rob Gronkowski or guys like, I can't remember who the receiver was, that was like, listen, I'd rather you hit me in the head and hit me in the chest than take out my knees. It was Fitz, right? Then take out my ACL and potentially end my career.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so I think it's the league having to listen to former players and understand, like, yes, there is a time and a place for player safety, but no one is holding a gun to your head saying you must play this violent game. It is a violent game. We all signed up for it. We all know what we came in here for, right? So that's my mic, is the lack of development. I saw that video, and I was like, man, he's spot on with so many of those things.
I agree with you 100%, and I think the lack of development is one of the things that it's just, it is what it is, and it's not going to change for a while until college decides to change, because it's like you said, Jay, the minute these kids hit a hardship, they're like, you know what, I don't like it here, I'm going to leave. And then the minute they get to the NFL, they're like, hey, I'm going to leave, and you're like... where are you going? To the bathroom? Are you gonna come right back? Like, they're still gonna be making fun of you. You can't just leave when you want to. It's like everybody else in the world. You can't just leave when you want to leave. You have to deal with these things. And that's why putting that transfer portal in was stupid. You have set these kids up for failure in a massive way. But I agree. Go ahead.
The transfer portal for me, it's good and bad. There needs to be a little bit of a little bit of sting if you transfer, which is what it used to be, right? Like, hey, you transfer, you're giving up a year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that if you transfer twice now, that needs to be the case. I'm tired of seeing quarterbacks play for three teams in 5 years. Like, yeah. I'm sick of it. Right? That does nothing. Right? I don't want to see guys bouncing around. Like, I think if you want to transfer once, cool. All about it. You can transfer once. You start trying to transfer multiple times and do different things and all that stuff, there needs to be a penalty for it.
I agree. And to the violence of football thing, I think that it's not shocking to hear someone say that. I've been saying this to Mackie for a while, that I think that it looks like it's just lame football now, right? Like, and now you see these guys are starting to hit each other at certain times and they're getting in so much trouble. Defensive ends can barely take down a quarterback without getting a flag. And you're like, dude, at what point are you going to let them play football? Because, Jay, you and I both know the minute you have to go out there and think like, oh, I can't do this, it slows you down. It doesn't let you play as fast as you want to play. Now, I agree, you should never hit a quarterback low and you should never hit him in the helmet. But if you get him right in the rib cage, dude, fair game is fair game. What do you want me to do?
Like that pass interference, or not, the roughing the passer on Fletcher Cox last night, right? Oh, like, he didn't take him to the ground. He didn't lead with his head. He bench pressed Patrick Mahomes because he's much stronger, bigger, and physical because he's a D lineman, right, and pushed him down. And Mahomes is like, oh, what happened? Right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff. And even Jackson, the safety from the Broncos, I get it. He's had some issues with, like, hurting people over the last couple of weeks. But that hit he had on Josh Dobbs, completely and totally fair in my mind. A couple reasons. One,
Josh Dobbs, fair to the rules? Or yes. You think that hit should be legal?
I think that's a legal hit. But he got fined. He got suspended four more games.
Four games.
He got suspended four more games because of that hit. It wasn't called a flag. But again, he's a repeat offender, and they spent him four games. And people are like, well, look, he hit the quarterback. He was a running back in that play. Right. He was also, Hawk took the pitch and took it and gave it to him, and he's running. It's third and one. What are you supposed to do, not light him up and let him get the first
down?
But
you can't – the rule is you can't lead with the crown of your helmet. That is a rule.
He hit him with his left shoulder.
No.
I mean, the crown of his helmet was
– he led with his helmet, but here's where it gets sketchy, and this is where me and Jay are saying – the minute that Hawk pitched him the ball, you are not a quarterback anymore. You become a running back. You become every other person on this field. I said it on Purple Daily. The minute you leave that pocket, you are not better than anybody on that field, and you better get ready to get tattooed. Our quarterbacks were not afraid to be like, hey, guys, I'm going to stay in here a little bit longer, okay? Just don't let me leave here. You'd be like, you got it, dude. Don't leave, okay? Because you're not outbeating any of those dudes across the field from you. But at the same time, the minute they do, people are just up in arms. Like, oh, my God. It's like, what do you want the safety to do? Let him get the first down, and then all of a sudden he gets pulled from the game, and then he gets cut? You can't sit there and tell people to slow down. I hate when people are like, it's not right. Shut up.
But the thing is, you don't know how fast you have to go. But from the league's perspective, you guys can disagree and light this up if you want to. The league is viewing this as a TV show. Their biggest revenue pie is the billions of dollars they bring in from ESPN, from Fox, from CBS, right, NBC. And the star of that TV show, there's about 20 of them, 10 to 20 of them, and Patrick Mahomes is the Tom Hanks.
Those are the movie stars
of the movie. You say, okay, listen, we're gonna try and put together a billion-dollar blockbuster hit, but we have no access to the top 20 actors anymore. It becomes a lot harder. So the NFL would rather take a safety out for 5 weeks, Kareem Jackson, who's a good player but like not a household name, than this marketable Pastronaut character that's like literally become one of the stars of their TV shows.
But
they're trying to protect the biggest stars of their TV show.
We know what they're doing, and we still don't agree with it.
And that's what Tom's saying too. Tom's saying the same thing. Like, the product has gone to shit, right? Like, the polished product. Like, you have the freak shows making the freak shows, and the dynamic offenses that are passing now. But like, there's not really, in my opinion, a truly complete offense in the NFL right now that is truly balanced and run and pass, that can get up, put their hand in the dirt and run the ball effectively, drop back and pass. Like, it's all one dimensional football because teams don't have time to work both, right? You kind of have to pick one, right? Like, hey, we're a physical running football team, so we're going to drill the shit out of it in the limited amount of time that we have, Or, hey, we got a quarterback that we're paying $200 million. We're going to run it. Hey, O-line, go over there and do one-on-ones and figure out how to just protect this guy. Like, there's not enough time in the day with the rules that have been put in place to actually be a true polished top-to-bottom complementary offense anymore.
Is there also some irony in that part of stripping down practices in the offseason was to just preserve health and I don't want my guys to be tired and grindy, that by stripping some of that away in the offseason, that you're leaving guys more susceptible to get hurt in the regular season, or yes. Is that a myth?
100%.
No, I agree with that. That's 100%. If you don't give it everything you got and then you show up with, so like if you just take off, like right now, there are some teams that from January to August, they do nothing. They do walkthroughs. They sit in meetings. You show up in August and your body is like, dude, you want me to get back into a car wreck? And then all of a sudden you're 0 to 100 again.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, and yeah, we complained a lot, but we had the right to complain. Like we were outside for 3.5 hours every day practicing every single day, fully padded. Like we were like, Singletary was like, yo, I don't care. This is what we did in the 80s. We won the Super Bowl. It's probably good for you. And at some point you were like, okay, this is a little extreme, but I see what they're doing. Because the minute you get in the game, those hits don't hurt anymore. You are so used to them. It's one of the things that your body is just so cognizant of it. It's like, dude,
I had an O-line coach in Carolina, John Matsko, old school grinder, and he said it best. And during training camp, we're in Carolina, we're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, hottest place on earth. Can't convince me otherwise, right? It's like middle of camp, and you're just dying. And he's like, "Men, you're callousing your body." He goes, "You're callousing your body." He goes, "You think about it, like a weightlifter. If he comes in with soft baby hands, he's gonna rip them off when he tries to deadlift 600 pounds." But because he's deadlifted 200 pounds and then 300 pounds and 400 pounds over the last course of the week, his hands are rough and calloused. And now he's not worried about the pain in which his hands are going to get inflicted. It's the pain in which he's going to inflict on his own body. And I was like, makes sense. Got it. Right. And so like, that's what you're missing when you're lacking the practice times, is you're not callousing your body enough for the physicality that is the NFL. Right. And the league can eat my ass on the player safety thing as long as they keep Thursday night football thing.
Yeah, seriously, don't tell us that.
Don't tell me player safety and then go and be like, oh, yeah, Thursdays? Sure thing.
Look, and now we get Black Friday football. Let's go. Like, Tuesday.
I hate Thursday night football. I'm just watching it. Like, if I have a client playing, I'm just going, please don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Because
I feel bad now.
It's horrible. The body's not ready. The body's not ready to play a football game by Thursday. It just isn't. But anyways, that's my soapbox for just being pissed off today about that crap. No, so, whatever.
No, but hey, seriously, this is what I think is great, is that we've been saying this for, what, a year now? Like, for a year, we've all been looking at this going, this is not what it was. And we're like, this is not the only time that former players have come back and been like, this is dog shit. But guess what? Now it's the first time that the number one player ever came back and was like, yo, this is dog shit.
Yeah,
like
Tom Brady, man.
Game, and this is what it turns to. Guys, I've been gone for 5 minutes, and this is how bad it becomes.
Tom, get on that Fox. He needs to get. You could see
Tim
in that
Boyle
clip
starting
Stephen A. Smith.
New York. My goodness, dude, call me, guys.
By the way, not to pick on Tim Boyle. We do a segment on Purple Daily called the Quarterback Cesspool Challenge, where every week we look to pick the worst quarterbacks in the league and aim for low QBRs. And we were going through today. So one of our guys, I think it was Declan, picked Tim Boyle. And he was going through the guy's stats. Like,
oh, it's
like,
so
wait a second.
Bad.
He played 3 years at UConn. He had one touchdown, 13 picks at UConn. So he transferred to Eastern Kentucky. And he had 11 touchdowns and 13 picks at Eastern Kentucky. How is he an NFL quarterback?
I don't understand
what's
he's going to leave. I don't
starting
understand.
For the New York Jets.
I don't understand.
Robert Saleh's probably like, what are we doing? What are we
coming
doing?
Up next, it's Tim Boyle against Patrick Mahomes.
Here's a guy coming out of Eastern Kentucky.
Well, that's like everyone, like now everyone's like, oh, Tommy DeVito. He put it together. I was like, are we just going to ignore that, like,
he took like 10 sacks?
2 weeks ago, Dable like didn't even trust him to throw the football down the field. Like 2 weeks ago, I remember he was like, you hand it off to freaking Saquon. You hand it to Saquon. You throw that ball, I'll kill you. Right? And now they're like, look at this guy. Oh, you're just throwing touchdowns. Huh? Look at this guy.
Here's a guy.
Here's a guy. Man. Lives with his mom.
Dude, I love the broadcast, too. They're like, this guy's mom made his bed this morning. It's like, well, probably.
Pretty good.
And now the defense is going to make his bed in the backfield. All right, let's make some picks here. Let's make some picks.
I did so bad.
No, you were 3-1
last
week.
You were 3-1.
Oh, I thought I did worse than that.
That's the summary of our show right there.
Yeah.
Oh, great. It's great.
Oh, it was good. Yay.
3-1. Booney, you were 3-1. I was 2-2. Jeremiah was 2-2. Ah, that Chiefs game stung last night.
Dude, that one hurts.
Am I coming back? Am I making a run? No, no, what's the record?
Who did I lose? I had the Eagles.
You had the Bengals.
Yeah. Bengals. That was the one that stung.
We all had the Bengals.
We all had the Bengals.
Fair, yeah. Losing Joe, nobody saw that coming.
Oh yeah. And I mean, we knew that was
season. They better figure it out quickly because they didn't have much of a run game going before, and now you're throwing in a backup quarterback, and it's like, dude, you got to get it going now.
Steelers too. I think you took the Steelers.
I did take the Steelers. So Matt Canada.
Well, I have a dumb question about him.
I sent for all you Entourage fans out there. I don't know if you have. I sent Mackie and Boone this morning the clip from Ari Gold where he comes in and he fires the guy that had the eye surgery. Yeah. I was like Mike Tomlin walking to Matt Canada's office this morning. Can you read it? Get the out.
Tomlin calling for his secretary. Lloyd! Yeah. Lloyd!
His own graphic. Like, we appreciate everything he did, but he can pound sand and leave.
Yeah, you're out.
Not good. Not gonna work here anymore. So I'm 29-15. Alex, you are 26-18, 3 games back. Jeremiah holding steady at 23-21, 6 games back. We got 4 games on the docket. We'll start with, and I'll make the first pick at least a couple times because I'm leading the standings. You guys can pick against me if you want. Browns at Broncos. Listen, I've been calling the Broncos, I'll go first here, a fraud for a month because every week it's like, okay, they can't possibly force 14 turnovers again in this game, and they do. It's becoming, this is Sean Payton teams, like the 09 team that won the Super Bowl. Sometimes Sean Payton teams, they walk the line of, you know, being too dirty or not, but they force turnovers a lot. So I'm starting to come around a little bit, I guess. Maybe the Broncos defense is just a ball-hawking defense. I got Broncos over the Browns in a defensive grinded out game here.
All right.
I like the Browns. I got the Browns. I think watching the Vikings defense, who is playing very well, hold the Broncos to field goals only, really, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the game, and having them in really good field position at times and still them going 3 and out kicking a field goal, that Browns defense is next level.
Right.
I mean, they are just a smothering defense. They've got playmakers at every position. I like the Browns. I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to get a little bit going here, giving the ball to Kareem Hunt, like getting Amari Cooper back involved, like those type of things. I think Njoku, those type of guys are going to have big games this weekend, and I think this is where the Bronco magic, I think, may run out against this Browns defense.
I agree. I'm going Cleveland, especially because the defense is fire, and like you said, the Vikings defense, what they did, and I know I'm going to get crushed for this. I'm sure I'm getting crushed for Purple Daily, but everyone keeps talking about how the Broncos are back, and I'm like, dude, they just talked on the game about how they haven't put over 200 yards in 5 games. What is back? I played Sean Payton when he was putting up 450 yards a game, and Russ was too, just running around, and that was one of the things we broke down their plays on Purple Daily. He gets into trouble, and now he just doesn't seem like the old Russ. He doesn't seem like the guy that's just like, oh, whatever, I'll go over here. He's like, oh, it turned into panic mode, and maybe it's because it's a different O-line or whatever it is, but when you talk about Myles Garrett on the other side and what he's been doing, dude, that's a huge, huge problem to have.
And honestly, the Vikings didn't get home a lot in that game. Right?
Daniel got two, and Wynum got one, right?
Right, but I'm saying on a consistent basis, like, he had some pressure in his face, but the quick
there
passing
could have been
game.
More. Yeah.
I think you put Dalvin Tomlinson in the middle now, pushing against Lloyd Cushenberry. Like, the interior of the Browns defense is very, very good compared to the Vikings. I mean, they're just better players, but I think the edge players are similar. So you now add into the interior pressure that they're going to bring in with those four. I think they can get home with 4 all day.
Yeah.
Second game here, boys. Jaguars at Texans.
Ooh.
Who wants it?
Come on, Searles. You got to go first. Got to go first, Searles. You got to go first, buddy. Got to go first.
I'm in last. You go first.
Okay, here. I'll go first. Ready? D'Amico Ryans, come on down. Coach of the year.
Wow,
ooh,
dude. Wow.
About to take down your Jaguars. By the way, maybe Kyler Murray should be a little bit more on Xbox. It seems like he plays better when he's coming off of a rested week of Xbox, and because they got beat. And I don't know if anybody saw that, but this Houston team, I don't know what's going on, but I love them, dude. I love everything about them. I love their mojo. I love the way that D'Amico Ryans is coming back, and he's like, dude, I'm taking things I learned from the Niners, and I'm using it against these guys. Like, I just love everything about this. Let's go, Houston.
I'll go next.
Go for it.
Give you a chance. All right. Love the Texans, dude. Love the Texans. Love what they're building here. The Jaguars have one loss since September 24th, and it was to a full-strength 49ers team. Now, the loss before that on September 24th was by 20 points to the Texans, so I will acknowledge that. Jaguars, I think this feels like a game where the Jaguars make it official going into December. We are to be reckoned with in the AFC. Big road win here for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think the Jags have a lot more to play for here than the Texans. I think the Texans are coming on like we're trying to be strong, but Jacksonville's trying to say we're a contender in the AFC, and they absolutely are watching what the AFC is right now. Right? You look at Baltimore and Kansas City and then kind of everybody else, right? They have a clear path to win in the AFC South. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm just going to say this.
Necktat's staying alive.
It's not going to stay alive because the pass rush is definitely going to be getting home because I'm trying to look up right now what they did.
What do you want? I'll find it. Hold on. I'll find it.
Sheldon Rankins. Sheldon Rankins. Did you see Sheldon Rankins versus Cincinnati? Did you see what he did? I'm just one guy. Now we throw in Will Anderson out there. We're just gonna have a ball back here, buddy. You know what?
Okay.
How about this? If the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, but the Houston wins this week, can I tell you where you put the tattoo?
Yes. Yeah, you're outvoted 2-1.
You don't get declaration over my body. You don't get declaration right across the forehead.
It's just a question.
Okay, game number 3, Sunday Night Football. Here's a guy. Buffalo Bills, resurgent after firing their coordinator.
That's all they needed.
At the Philadelphia Eagles after a huge win. A shortened week for the Eagles.
I like the Eagles. It's in Philly, right? It's in Philly. Hostile place to play. Josh Allen and them have been up and down on the road. I like the Eagles, again, because I think they're going to try and just continue to run the football, grind it out with DeAndre Swift in the backfield there. A.J. Brown's going to get back on track, right? Those two guys were missing it a little bit last night. I think they get back on track against a hurt secondary in Buffalo. They are hurt. Everyone's hurt. No one's back there besides Poyer's the only name that I recognize in that secondary. That's not the team you want to be going against.
All right, the Bills, it's funny, man. This goes back years, but especially this year. The Bills either beat the brakes off their opponent by 4 touchdowns, or they lose close games. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much that's their pattern, right? And so when I deduce it to that logic, are they going to beat the brakes off of an opponent in a win or lose a close game? And they're playing at Philadelphia. I think I'll take close loss to Philadelphia. Give me the Eagles here.
There you go. Hey, do I need to say anything else? I'm going Eagles. Let's go.
E-A-G-L. Yes.
I just want to see Sirianni talking a whole bunch of shit to the refs. And I just love when he gets fired up, dude. There's not enough.
He's great.
Like
they
that.
Did play perhaps the worst coverage in the history of defense on that 4th and 25 play, and then they celebrated like it wasn't just a dropped pass. Well, but they did
also
win the
Sirianni.
Game.
Sirianni after Valdes-Scantley drops it, he's on the sideline like incomplete.
I love it.
Be like, you should be going. Thank you, God. Right. Thank you for the gift that you just gave me.
All right, and now the Belichick Parcells Bowl here between two great historic NFL franchises. The Patriots at the Giants look at you.
I'm going to that game. Yep. I will be at that game. Give me the Giants.
Give me the Giants.
Like, I can't. If I'm going to be at that game, I'm rooting for a lot. J. Mike's my boy. I think he's playing great. Yeah, I'm excited. But the Patriots are a mess. And if anything, the Giants can play defense. Right? They showed it last week, getting after Sam Howell. They're wearing it like a badge of honor. Right, they're going, hey, I know our offense is struggling. I know our offense isn't doing what we need to do. We need to win football games. And Mac Jones has turned the ball over a lot this year. Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence are playing an elite level after losing Leonard Williams. I like the Giants.
Yo, G-Man all day. Let's go.
Come on, Mac. This is my week to pick up a win here.
This could help you.
Let me tell you something.
You went rogue before on us with the Broncos.
Oh, I'm going rogue again. You guys are all, everyone's writing off Bill Belichick, right? Just put this old, decrepit relic of the past out to pasture. Trade him to Washington for a 6-round pick. Old Billy Boy's got a little something in the bag for Tommy DeVito, okay? And his parents, okay? Yeah, his parents can make his bed, fix him some breakfast, and send him off into Bill Belichick's
house. No chicken farm this week.
Give me the Patriots. So, all right, those are the picks here, gentlemen. I've got about 10 minutes of dumb football questions for you guys. Starting with my own dumb football question.
I love it.
So Mike Tomlin finally listened to the masses yelling fire. They were literally chanting Fire Canada like a month ago at a Pittsburgh Penguins game, a hockey game. So the Steelers offense has been outgained in every single one of their contests this year. Scoring offense, 28th. Yards per play, 28th. Pass attempt, yards per pass attempt, 29th. Passing touchdowns, 31st. Passer rating, 29th. Third down, 25th. Red zone, 25th. Garbage. Garbage.
Yeah, you're bad. You suck.
How much does in a locker room, and it, dude, the Bills, they came back, played well offensively after firing their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. How much of a spark can firing a coordinator have? Have you guys, now, North Turner didn't get fired or kind of got fired. I mean, that was a weird deal in Minnesota.
I'm going to say he left.
He did not get fired. He walked out. He was basically like, I run the offense, not you. Don't you ever meddle in my shit again. And I think that that's a good question, because when Norv left, it was different. When Norv left, it was a huge kick to the face to everybody, because everybody was like, yo, where's Norv? And then Shermer came in and was like, all right, I'm in charge. Let's roll. And everybody was like, burp. Who are you? What are you doing? This is not your meeting to run. Like, this is Norv's. That hurt. But normally, like, when you fire an OC or a DC, it's kind of to the point to where everyone's like, we've had it. We've had enough of this. We can't do this anymore. We can't keep beating our head against the wall. Or it's a clear sign to the players that you're next. Yep. We got rid of this guy. Don't think your asses aren't on the chopping block. And that's when everybody starts to come together like, okay, hey, listen, it might have been him, it might have been us, it might have been a lot of everything. But going forward, everything that we do from now, literally Monday, every practice, every rep is going to be watched, isolated. Hey, was it them or was it him? Did we make the good decision? Are we firing somebody at the end of the year? Who's getting cut? Like, that's when everybody starts to go, okay, no more playing around. No more bullshit, guys. Like, we're here to win games. We're here to focus. Because while it could have been the OC, and I agree that sometimes OCs call stupid plays, it's on us to go out and execute it. Any play can score. A dive could score. A power could score. If you block it properly, every play should score. So when you turn around and look at it, you're like, well, there's really no reason that any play shouldn't work. So maybe it is a lot on us. Maybe he called them at the wrong time. Maybe the third down didn't make any sense. Whatever it is, it's still on us to do it. So it's kind of a spark of like, holy shit, this is real. Somebody got canned above us. We're about to be next. We all better start paying attention.
Yeah, I echo everything. I echo everything Alex said, because there's no more excuses. There's no one else to fall on the sword besides the players now, right? So as a player, you're going to be like, okay, this is my opportunity to show that I'm either with this team in 2024 or they're going to replace me and move on. And that is the whole thing. When you fire a coordinator, you put all the onus on the players, because the guy who takes over as coordinator is playing with house money, so he doesn't care. He's going to say, yeah, YOLO, throw it deep. Let's see if Kenny Pickett. No, let's see if Kenny Pickett can find Pickens. Let's see if Najee Harris can start figuring his life out. Right? Like, he has no worries anymore. He's playing with house money, so it is 100% onus on the players. And I think that's where you see a little bit of the spark sometimes when coordinators get fired.
It was a curious hire. Just, you know, I don't know. Look at resumes and you think, okay, this guy's coming in here, a lot of college experience, minimal NFL experience. It was a first guess, kind of a kid. Now, he was the quarterback's coach a year ago, too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around for at least a couple of years. But so we'll see if it sparks them. Okay, next dumb football question, and we stockpile these from you guys, the audience. We love when you send us these dumb football questions. There is no dumb football question that we won't look to answer on this show. Nick wants to know, what is the most annoying, consistent misconception that the average football fan has about the NFL or being a pro athlete?
Oh, well, there's a lot of them. But I think one of them that always really bothered me was that we don't really do anything all week. Like, people would be like, well, what do you guys do all week? You just sit around. You don't do anything. They'd be like, you have no idea what's said behind those doors. It makes you yourself as a man.
I'll probably have to blur out the screen grab of who was calling there. But.
Oh, I'm so excited. They'll know.
So you're saying people, you hate when people think that you guys are just dicking around all week waiting for the next game.
You know who kind of does it the most? It was like our wives would be like, you guys just go up there, put these dips in, watch this stupid film. You don't even do anything. What are you doing all day? I'm over here with the kids, making dinner. You're just sitting around, lounging.
You know
around.
What?
It's not like that. I'm telling you. It's like you walk into a room and you're like, who has eyes on me? What are they going to say? What did I do to them? Did I mess something up? Because the minute you walk in that day, there are 10,000 people looking to say something to you about something that you did the day before, the practice before, the game before. God forbid you see the GM and he walks by and you're like, God damn it. Here comes the
boss. I'll tell you, it's not just players, man. You know, us media types too. People who think all I do is jump on here, I watch sports and then I grab a microphone and just rip on athletes. And I'm like, you know what? They're right, actually. That's pretty much all that goes into it.
100%. That's pretty much
a wrap. Donald Ruppert says, when teams play road games, do players share rooms? Like, do O-linemen share two to a room in a hotel?
This is a great question. All right. I'm kind of sad Jay's not here for this because
we can save this. Should I save this one? I'll save it.
Save it.
Okay. If he has a good answer. One.
Since Jay's not on here, we can get in a little trouble. Get me in trouble. Let's go. Let's get started.
Okay.
It's Thanksgiving.
I know this is going to get you in trouble.
Oh, here we go.
With Vikings fans.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Tommy Litz wants to know, did you guys take Tuesdays off? Tuesdays are a mandated off day in the NFL. What did you do for your off day on Tuesday during the season? Okay. Now, this conversation popped up for that Netflix quarterback series, and yes. Kirk Cousins said, I take 24 hours off on Tuesdays. I don't look at film. I don't do anything. I don't go into the practice. Tuesday is 24 hours devoted to family. And idiots like me were like, wait a second. Is that normal? Like, I feel like Tom Brady's at least looking at some film and planning something for the next week. Like, 24 hours off. So what do you guys do on Tuesdays?
I'm not going to speak bad about somebody that's injured. That's not right. And that's code.
That's fair.
In the league, can't do that. So we're going to exclude him from this. Normally on Tuesdays, and it depends now because a lot of teams, and Harbaugh was kind of one of the first ones to do this, was he'd give you Mondays off. He'd be like, listen, after the game, you take off. You can do whatever you want. We'd like to see you in here get a lift. Most guys on your days off, Monday or Tuesday, will come in. The rookies must come in. You must lift. Practice squad must lift before them. And then after that, it goes by seniority. So, like, when I was year three, you'd have to go in with, like, the young group. When I was, like, year six, you could go in whenever you wanted as long as you got the lift in. So you'd go in, you'd get your lift, you'd get your treatment, you'd get your cold tubs, you'd get your sauna, you'd turn around, you'd go upstairs, you'd always talk to your coach and be like, hey, what did you see? How did it look? Not that we didn't see it six or seven times already because we watched it. Three times on the plane ride home, or we watched it when we were at home. I always watched it when I was showering the kids up, and then I'd watch it again when everybody went to bed because it was like I could see it from a different perspective, and now I could get mad or I could be happy. And it was one of those things where when you see guys in there, you would start talking and you'd start putting together the next week's game plan, because one of the great things is people used to do Tuesdays off because Monday was the mandatory day, but even on Tuesdays when you'd have Tuesdays off, you'd still come in. You would come in and you would lift. You would meet with your coach. You would talk about the game plan. What are we planning on doing this week? And if something was really bad on the game, then he'd bring it up again on Tuesday. Like, hey, listen, we really have to fix this week with you. We're going to go over this. We're going to do this. We're going to talk about this. We're going to watch some more film. Like, Tuesdays, there are no days off.
There's no organized practice on Tuesdays, but
no,
you
but
guys
are there.
You're
there. Everybody's there. Everybody's in a meeting. Like, you could pop your head into a room and there'd be 10 guys, 10 random guys watching the game before or watching the next opponent getting ready. It's just always one of these things where there is never enough time to prepare, to get ready, to get treatment. Like, all these things become so important and pivotal, because when you talk about, like, you really only have 3 days, 4 days to get ready for a game, for an NFL game. It's something that you, like, you just got done with one. I want you to erase your mind, and this is the new playbook this week, because a lot of teams now are starting to change it so that they're playing the defense specifically how they want to play that defense. It's not like when I came in the league, it was like, this is who we are. We run this play all the time, whether it works or not, because this is who we are. Now it's like, hey, these guys have a weak link up front. Let's go after him here. This is how we're going to isolate him. We're gonna wham him, or we're going to trap him. We're going to go zone at him, and we're going to double him all day. Like, these are the things that you have to start getting ready for. And at the same time, you got to go watch that guy's film, because guys are showing up in the league now every week. We were just talking about, what was his name from Houston? Mine totally blanks my mind, but, like, all year he's been playing okay.
Oh, Sheldon.
Sheldon Richardson, playing good. Then all of a sudden, 1 week he just blows up. Is that because somebody wasn't prepared enough for him? Was it because somebody wasn't ready to play him? Was it because he wasn't, you know, you don't know. And at the end of the day, you're like, this happens all the time. And if you don't watch your film and you don't go out and know what somebody's going to do against you, they're going to embarrass you on national TV. And I'll tell you what, my grandma used to call me and be like, yo.
Alex!
I'm serious.
Alex, she'd be like,
I saw you pulling out
holding?
There, honey.
You're holding. Oh, man. All right, let's go. We're gonna wrap this podcast episode and go see if Jay Agent Life Jay
is left.
No, we got to get to the inside baseball for the audience. We have a limited recording window every week because we got a bunch of stuff going on. So we have three awesome film breakdowns we got to knock out here.
Oh yeah, and a tribute.
So yes. So for the audience, hit us up if you haven't already. Click the like button and the subscribe button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. And be on the lookout for more film reviews this week. Dude, we're up to 13,000 subscribers, so thank you guys. We appreciate you greatly.
Can't wait. Just
and we'll catch you on the film reviews. We'll catch you next week for the full podcast, the O-Line Committee. Phil, Alex, Jeremiah.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.